God of Advent, in these dark days and nights of the year, fill our hearts with your light as we listen to your word. Amen. The Body Shop. Tom's Shoes. The Bon Ton Group of Department Stores. Furniture Stores. Jewelers. An Australian organization that fights homelessness, the Catholic Charities of West Tennessee, Frigidaire, and Pyrex. All of these companies and groups have used the slogan, "Give joy," in their advertising. You see, they've discovered that whether they're marketing new cookware, or a new appliance, or another piece of jewelry, or even a charitable cause, joy is one way to get you to pull out your checkbook or credit card. I read one marketing expert saying that a company's ad will be successful if it gives the consumer a sense of joy, of delight. And for better or worse, they're right. Joy is what we're looking for. I mean, especially with Christmas coming, we long for joy. We want to be those kids in the Coca-Cola commercial. We want that warm feeling that comes with, you know, making memories, with being close to people we love. Or we want the thrill, the electric rush that comes with getting something new. A new TV. A new relationship. A new beginning. Maybe you want the awe, the magic. Whether it's lights on the Christmas tree, the candlelight on Christmas Eve, the perfect dusting of snow on Christmas morning. We want joy, warmth, thrill, awe. The advertisers know it. And we know it too, if we look honestly into our own hearts. Now, I'm not saying anything new when I tell you that joy and Christmas are about much, much more than new refrigerators or diamond rings or even charitable causes. I mean, if you've watched many church Christmas pageants or holiday specials on TV, you know that. People, Christian and otherwise, they all realize that joy is what we really long for and not more stuff. And you know, there's good news for us today. Because God gives us joy. Christmas, the real Christmas, is all about joy. A baby sleeping against its mother's breast. A man healing and teaching and crying out to God and dying and then rising again. He is our joy. He is God's gift of joy. And He can fill all our lives just that joy. When Mary felt within herself that baby coming into being, his limbs and organs knitting together, his first kicks and wiggles in her belly, well, she couldn't contain the joy. She sang. She sang a new song. She sang, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." She sang, "You have seen me in my sorrow. You have heard me in my pain. You have known me in my suffering and loved me in my shame." And I sing, "Holy, holy, holy is your name." I say, "Glory, glory, glory to your name." And the angels and the heavens, they sing of a new day that you bring. They sing, "Glory, glory, glory to your name." The proud will fall. The poor will see that all hope's not lost. And grace flows free, and I sing, "Holy, holy, holy is your name. Yes, she sang. My soul magnifies you, Lord. My soul glorifies you, Lord. For you have seen me, known me, heard my cry. You have not forgotten me. For you have lifted me, filled me with all good things. You, O Lord, remember mercy. We will magnify, glorify you, O Lord. Hear the hearts that sigh. We will magnify, glorify you, O Lord. Make the humble rise. You, O Lord, remember mercy. And that is what joy sounds like. It sounds like Mary's song. It sounds like the angel on a cold night telling forgotten shepherds, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Joy which will be for all the people. Today a Savior has been born for you, the Messiah, the Lord." It sounds like a thousand angels singing glory, glory, glory to your name. Singing peace on earth and mercy mild. Joy sounds like those shepherds celebrating, rejoicing, praising God as they dance on the streets on their way back from Bethlehem. God has given us joy. You know, Josh, you say, "Josh, that's a great story." You say, "I love that story every year. I like it best when the kids act it out in their Christmas program or when Linus tells it in a Charlie Brown Christmas. Or you know, I really liked that Nativity movie a few years back. I watch it tell the story and I can't help but feel hopeful and sad at the same time. And I guess you might call that joy." You say, "Josh, I like that story. It even makes me tear up. But my heart, it still wants something more. I don't quite feel like I've unwrapped joy. I don't feel like joy is mine just because I've heard that story one more time. You know, I like a lot of stories," you say. I even like How the Grinch Stole Christmas. And you know, I like some true stories too. I still get shivers every time I hear about Captain Sully Sullenberger landing that jet plane on the Hudson River outside of New York City and saving all the people on board. But Josh, how can a story, any story, true or not, how can a story fill up my life and my heart? How can the Christmas story and give me that kind of joy that could make me sing? Can a story do that? And the answer, of course, is God. A story can't fill your heart, no matter how many angels show up in it. But the story of God, God's story, the story about God and by God, God can fill your heart. God can bring you comfort and joy. If only you'll let Him. Ron read two passages for us this morning. The first one, from the prophet Zephaniah, had a lot to say about joy. "Sing aloud, O daughter Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and celebrate with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem." You know, Zephaniah, it's not the most marked up, page-worn portion of my Bible. And I doubt it is in yours either. You know, we tend to read more from the Gospels or the New Testament, Genesis or the Psalms. And we tend only rarely to venture into these little prophetic books in the middle. So we probably don't realize that Zephaniah's song of joy here It comes at the end of three chapters of judgment and doom and gloom. I mean, Zephaniah's song, when you read it in his book, it rings out like a dance party in a war zone. You know, the air raid sirens, they have barely fallen silent, and the air is still dirty with the explosions and the collapsing buildings and the cries of the wounded. And suddenly, here's Zephaniah, and he takes up this loud, loud song of joy, this song of hope, as the world falls to pieces around him. This is a promise song. And like most good promises, it seems a more than a little bit out of place. I mean, hope is always out of place. It doesn't fit in. Because it's not looking at today. It's got its eyes fixed on a change that's going to come. I mean, hope is looking into tomorrow. And it sings like tomorrow's already here. Like it's already that one day. Like it's already Christmas morning. And Zephaniah's song here, it's a Christmas song. It's a Christ song. He didn't know Jesus by name, but this song is all about God saving his people from their sins. Zephaniah sings in verse 15, Yahweh has taken away the judgments against you. The King of Israel, Yahweh, is right here among you. You won't be afraid of evil anymore. And then he repeats that same message in reverse in verses 16 and 17. Do not be afraid, O Zion. Don't let fear paralyze you. Yahweh, your God, is right here among you, a mighty warrior who saves. Those last two words, who saves, are Yoshia in Hebrew. A word, a name that should be familiar to us. Yoshia, Yeshua, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, when we get Jesus' name, the angel told Joseph in a dream, Mary will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Wow. Well, that's very interesting, Josh, you say. That's kind of cool. That there's an echo of Jesus' name right in this song of hope. But, and you pause. Josh, are you saying that I need to read more of these dusty middle books of the Bible? Is that what you want? Because even when I read these, I still don't see how they somehow enable a story to make my life any more joyful. I mean, maybe it'll keep my brain, my intellect preoccupied, spark my imagination, but Josh, you're leaving my heart empty. You know, at least Tom's Shoes or the Body Shop and the furniture store, at least they offer me something new, something exciting. I get a little whiff of joy, or at least what I think joy is like. But reading these stories? Well, they hardly get me past sentimental anymore, let alone joyful. I'll say it again. Joy isn't found in just the story, any more than joy is just found in the tinsel and the baubles and the candy canes. If you hear the story about Mary and Joseph and the stable and manger, but you don't meet God, well, there's no joy there for you. I mean, we can sing about the wise men in the east. We can light up Christmas stars and even mouth those words, Jesus is the reason for the season. But if we don't meet God, we fail to find the spirit of joy. How do we meet God? How can you meet God this Christmas season? You know, if I get one chance to talk to you about Christmas joy or peace or hope or love, this is the question that I want us to get to. Because we don't get to true, fulfilling joy or peace or love if we fail to meet God. But if we do meet God, if God comes and dwells right here among us, in our lives and at our hearts, well, then we will find peace and hope and love and joy. Now, we're worshiping with the church this morning, right? And so I'd guess that many of us, well, you could get up here and preach a sermon about how to meet God, probably. I mean, some of us, we have walked so long with God that we've worn out our knees from praying. Now, we can talk about meeting God in prayer and reading Scripture and singing the hymns and the songs that proclaim the truth. I mean, some of us read Christian books. Some of us find Jesus' presence where two or three are gathered, be it a Bible study or a small group or just sharing a meal together. But you know, preachers, they like to say that going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to McDonald's makes you a hamburger. Anyone heard that one before? I like that. And maybe that's you today. You sit there, you hear all this talk about meeting God, about finding joy, about God is where you'll find that joy you long for, and secretly, maybe so no one else can see, you scratch your head. You think, is he just talking flowery words up there? Is that just churchy language? Wherever you are on the map, you know, longtime friend of God, or if you feel you're still, you know, watching shadows through the windows, peering in from the outside, I want to share with you one way to meet God. We hear about it in the other passage Ron read for us, the passage from Luke. Here we meet John the prophet, still preaching and baptizing in the wilderness. We heard him last Sunday, too, about our need to get ready if we're going to receive the gift that God's giving us. And today's passage, it has a touch of that same message, especially in the end about Jesus coming to sort out the grain from the chaff. But there's something more for us here today. John gets into this conversation with people who are honestly trying to get on board with his good news, with this message about God, the King of Israel, who's just about to arrive. And they want to make the way straight. To place it alongside our conversation this morning for comparison, we could say that these people coming out to John, they were looking for the joy in this good news message. They believed that somewhere in all this thunder in the desert, all of these warnings about coming judgment, that there was joy and they wanted it in their lives. But like us, they weren't sure how John's story could give that joy to their lives. What should we do? The crowds asked him. What do we need to do to get at this joy? What do we need to do to meet God? What do we need to do to meet God? You know, that could be the beginning of a really great storyline for a TV series or a big epic film from Hollywood. What do we need to do to meet God? One man's quest to find God. Now, if you summon up the scenery from The Lord of the Rings or Indiana Jones, your mind can probably fill in all of the quests and the challenges and the dangers we might have to face before we get to the pinnacle, before we find the treasure and actually meet God. I'm sure that there'd have to be a volcano and probably fighting wild animals and climbing up sheer cliffs. I mean, if I were to write a story about that, what do I have to do to meet God? The crowd asks, what do we need to do to meet God? And we ask, what do we need to do to find joy? And some of us, we would go just about anywhere. We would face the wild animals and the rugged mountains to gain that prize, to gain God. You know, ain't no mountain high enough, ain't no valley low enough. So what does John answer these people? What does he tell them to do? Does he demand some great feat of courage and endurance? Does he ask some ultimate sacrifice from them? John says, give. Specifically, he tells people at large, if they have extra of anything, share it with someone else who needs it. Give it to them. He says, anyone who has two shirts, they should share with the one who has none. And anyone who has food should do the same. Now, that doesn't sound all that courageous. It's pretty basic. Though, to be honest, it touches pretty close to home during this season of food bank drives, immigrants fleeing to our cities from violence in their homelands. But not too challenging. When even tax collectors and Roman soldiers push their way to the front, you know, dirty sinners that these folks are, and they wonder how they too can get to the joy of the good news. John's answer continues to play in the same key. He says, stop looking out just for yourselves. Instead, care for others. Don't use your power to get a little bit more, to get rich, oh, you tax collectors. And don't use your swords to intimidate people into doing whatever you want them to do, you soldiers. Instead, be content. In fact, give away what you have. Share. There's no reason to think that John's advice for everybody didn't include these especially bad folks. The trouble for us is making the Christmas story our story. We need to get that story into our lives, and our lives into that story. If we want joy, we need to make God's story our own. And the same was true for those flocking to hear the prophet John baptizing in the wilderness. They needed to get into God's story. So you ask one last time, Josh, how do I get this joy into my life? How does giving away the extra sweater that I get for Christmas instead of taking it and returning it for some cash, how does that fill my heart? How do I meet God by doing that? If you want God's story to change your heart, if you want to get into God's story, then the very best thing you can do is to go and start doing what you see God doing. Go and join in the action. If you want to meet God and find joy, then go to where God is and join in with what God's doing. What do we see God doing in the Christmas story? God is giving. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. God gives a baby to Mary. God gives a Savior King to God's people. God gives some shepherds some news, good news. God gives peace later to an old man who's just about to die in the temple. God gives at Christmas. If you want to meet God, give. If you want the joy of God, give. God gives. Give like God gives, and you will find that God's there, already giving Himself away. That is where we find joy at this Christmas season. We find it where God is. Will you pray with me? Jesus, we long for Your coming and the joy that You bring. We know we need change. We need joy. Help Your compassion your generosity grow in us so that we can join in your freedom.